We thank you for this afternoon, this evening, God. We can just come together as one, sing as one, worship as one, knowing, God, that you are one and you are awesome, God. You're amazing, God. And Father, tonight as we come together, Lord, we recognize that you are completely sufficient. You are completely self-sufficient, Father, and in you we are sufficient. God, we come to recognize that, Jesus, you are enough. You are more than enough, in fact, God. But we don't need anything added to the cross. We don't need anything added to Christ. We don't need anything more. You are completely, utterly sufficient. And Father, this evening we worship you by recognizing that fact, God, that there's no one else like you. Father, and we want to just thank you as a family, God, as the testimony was shared earlier, Father, of a whole prison that came to salvation. We want to give you thanks, God. We want to say we are honored by the fact that, God, you've used us as a church family, not just the mission team, but every part of this church. Father, as I sense, you credited to our account. But we thank you for the honor and the privilege of seeing a whole prison being touched by the power of God. And we thank you, Father. We thank you this evening for the simplicity of Christ, for the simplicity of the cross. Before we're going to take our seats, is anyone here with a message, prophetic word, picture on your heart, anything like that? Won't you just please come forward and share it with us?
While we were worshiping, I just saw a picture actually of myself, and I felt the Lord ministering to me, but I think maybe he wants to encourage someone else as well, that I saw myself in a pit covered in darkness, and God just reaching his hand downwards, and as I was reaching up to him, my arm turned into a plant and I was growing, and God just reminded me of a word that my husband gave to me yesterday while he was on the mainscape, saying sometimes the seed must die before it can grow into this plant. And in the same way, God reminded me of sometimes something must die, something myself must die, sometimes my talents must die, sometimes my gifts must die, sometimes I think I have something to contribute, but it must die before the work of God can be accomplished by it. And God just showed me in that dark place where I'm covered with ground, it's not a lonely place, it's a warm place, it's a place where the Holy Spirit is. He said to me, it's like a baby in the womb. It's covered in darkness, but it's also covered in warmth, in water. And the baby's never alone. The baby's in the womb, but the baby's never alone. And the Holy Spirit is ministering to the baby, just as he's ministering to the seed, so that his works can be accomplished.
I just felt God's pressing on my heart that there's either somebody or some people that's feeling like you're dealing with stuff that's like really deep and heavy, and you know that you've got to give it to God, but you can't, or you feel like you can't, but God's just coming to say, give it to me. I was reminded of that scripture that says, yoke is easy, my burden is light, sorry. And I think there's quite a few of us that can testify to it, that the moment that you give God that unto God, God takes it. He doesn't let you down. So whoever that may apply to, I just want to encourage you, give it unto God. Test him on it. The Lord is faithful. He won't let you down.
Just want to confirm those two words. Michelle, can you hold that one up? That one, yeah, thanks. So the artist just felt this one is, they felt there's someone who's in darkness, but the Lord wants to teach you to see in the darkness, like an eagle, like an owl, and someone who feels like they're in the tunnel, so you can't actually see anything, but the Lord wants to break it open, and then there's light, and there's, you can Red Sea. And then just another one, a different word. It's a box, a closed box that's folded open. And then the tree grows out of the box, and the roots grow beyond, and the fruit grows beyond. And the title is Extending the Benefits of the Church into the World. And I just felt that God put on a heart that sometimes the world sees the church as in a box, and it doesn't apply to them, and it's removed from their life, and there's nothing in that box for them. But God says that's not the truth. The truth is that the church grows out of the box, and it grows over the whole world, and the roots and the fruits and everything, it extends everywhere. And I just feel as a church, God, this I feel with this artwork, the Lord is giving us that grace to extend that, for the box in us to break, and for this to be extended to the world where we all put our roots and our fruits. Father, thank you for just your word of life, and a life that extends beyond here. Father, I'm just so reminded of the thing it says that on Sunday we have the team talk, but the game is in the week. That this is not the game. This is just the team talk. And we thank you for your presence here. And we love this team talk, Lord. But thank you, Jesus, that we can go in the week to the actual game. And we thank you, Father, for your love that extends way beyond this team talk. But your love extends to the game. And that's where the real victory is won. Father, and we thank you for that. And I thank you that I can declare that of our hearts. And why don't you just raise your hands if you want to respond to that word. And I believe it's a grace the Lord wants to give us. And I thank you, Jesus, that through your cross, you've done this work. But God, we choose to be those roots and those fruits and part of that extension of the tree. And we ask, Jesus, for your grace to be that. We thank you, Lord, for everyone around us that is not connected to life, to you, that's not connected to a body, a church. Thank you, Father, that we can declare over them that life will be extended to them in whichever way. And thank you, Jesus, that you're giving us this word, that you want to give us this grace. And we are responding. We want to choose to receive that grace. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you help us and help us to know and guide us and help us to be obedient. And we just receive that, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. You can have your seats. Good evening, everyone. Thanks, band. Thanks, not just for the drums. I love drums. But also, thanks, Donna and team, for confirming my message tonight. We've got a river. We're dancing in the river. In the next 20 minutes, quickly turn to the person next to you and say to them, you're not a pew warmer. Pew warmer. Seat warmer. Yeah, the thing that you're sitting on. Can I turn to the other person and say, it's time to get moving? All right, so in the next 20 minutes, we're going to actually get moving. We're going to move around the venue. We're going to break up into different groups. So just quickly for you to sort of to get thinking about this or even praying. Some people are going to pray now in the next 20 minutes to come to a conclusion. But firstly, the families, all the families, after 20 minutes, we're going to stop the message and we'll move to the back. The families are right at the back where the kids are. I think that makes sense. So the parents can be with the kids. Yuan will be sharing there. Then all the working people without children, they also, married people are also families. Let's just correct that. So the working people without children in the sort of living area, Kenny will be sharing there. The Musenberg people in the intercession room. I don't know what that says about the Musenberg people. Duncan will be sharing there. So you guys can join them. And then I didn't plan this, but I felt specifically because it's been something on our hearts for a while, and mine specifically. But I felt to have another group tonight, that's going to start something in Athlone. So that's the 20 minutes. You've got 20 minutes to pray about that. So if you feel that the Lord wants to use you in that regard, if you have some sort of calling to do something in Athlone, we're going to just start a small group for now. But you can meet me there in the nation's boardroom over there. All right, so I'm going to just share a brief word. Yeah, of course, the students should stay here. Hey, you don't, okay. You can like move around. Yeah, and I'm not going to, it's a surprise who's going to share with the students. Surprise, surprise. Okay, so all the students, you're going to be here. Right, so the word, sorry about that, students. Okay, I hope you're not offended. Hey, I hope you, you can, okay, so Ezekiel chapter 47. I'm going to read 12 verses, and I want you to pay attention. This is like the prophetic, you know, God's not confused. He gives us word, not just because it's nice pictures or it's nice stuff to say. He wants to do it, so he's going to break some boxes tonight. He's going to change our perception, and he's going to bring us back. And I believe this evening is the Lord is correcting us, coming back to the essence of who God is, coming back to the simplicity of Christ. And as I prayed, that place where Christ is enough. And I believe the Holy Spirit really wants to correct us tonight and correct our hearts and say, you know, forget about the other stuff. Forget about what you think you need. You only need Jesus. That's simply, purely, the only thing that you need is Christ. You don't need books. You don't need other teachings. You don't need, you just need Christ, right? And his body, his body. There's a reason why God gives the picture of Christ, the head, and the church, his body. Because it's him, and we're going to see in this picture just now. So, Ezekiel chapter 47, God comes to Ezekiel, and he shows him this picture of a river. This river is such a powerful picture of our lives today and our lives with Christ. So, I want you to pay attention. Verse 1, then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me to the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that the fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Glaim. There will be places for spreading their nets. The fish will be of the same kinds of the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and its marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine." Now that's a really powerful picture. And in fact, there's often times where God speaks, you know, or uses the symbol of a river to represent something of how the kingdom works, something of how our lives with Christ work. In fact, Jesus says that there's two essential things that is important for us as believers. The one is, of course, the word. Jesus says, so it's two things, bread and water. Jesus says, the word is the bread. A man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. Right, so there's a sort of a sustenance that Jesus feels is so important that it's as important as eating daily, or even more important, because the sustenance of your spirit, which is fed by the word, results in your spirit is the only part of you that will live for eternity. It's the eternal part of you. And therefore, the word and that sustenance of the bread is so important. And then Jesus, the other thing he says is waters. He says, come to me all who are thirsty and I will give you waters to drink so that you will never thirst again. And that water, so the first is the word, the bread. That's this essential thing that we need. The other essential thing is the waters. The waters represent intimacy. Intimacy with God. And you and I, and every one of us, every person has a great desire for intimacy. If we know it, if we're honest with it or not, the fact is it is there. Okay? And misplaced intimacy results in anger and eventually abuse. So misplaced intimacy can ultimately end up in abuse. Because it comes from a place of hurt. So God had made every human being, and God is he's awesome. He knows we created. He knows what we need. He knows we need the word. He knows we need that intimacy. We need it with him, firstly and foremostly. Without him, in fact, without intimacy with Christ, we cannot have true intimacy with one another on a real level. All right? But that is the two things that Christ wants for us. And then he goes on further. Jesus, he speaks about the fact that we need these waters. And then he goes on further. He says, now he talks about the Holy Spirit. He says, okay, well, there's going to be a place where you're going to get waters, but then you're going to get more than enough for yourself. And it's going to become a river. Right? And that's why it's so powerful when the missions teams comes up and shares these testimonies of how God uses him, because the rivers have begun to flow. You know, and God does that often, and we see it. We see many testimonies, but he wants to do it even more. All right? We are channels of this river of God. This river that firstly, and we're going to look at just a couple of things that is significant about this river. But before we get there, I want you to see this in the text. I haven't seen this before, and we so often miss it. Focus on the three levels of depth of this river that flows from the temple, and it sort of symbolizes the depth that we can get into God. But I want you to see this before we go to the next slide. The fish will be of some exceedingly many. Along the bank of the river will grow all kinds of trees used for fruit, for food, leaves. And then it says the last one, the fruit will be for food and the leaves for medicine. Okay, now these are powerful symbols. So first, if you can go to the next slide, Marie. So this is the picture of that river. Wherever this river flows, life happens, all right? But three spiritual themes of this text is firstly, life. It says that there's life wherever this river goes. The second theme is healing. Wherever this river goes, flows, there's healing. Even when it gets to the sea, and the picture that is being used is if some of you have been to Israel, or if you've heard of Israel, there's the Dead Sea. Now nothing lives in the Dead Sea. It's full of salt. It's intensely full of salt. In fact, if you drink of the waters of the Dead Sea, they immediately have to take you to the hospital. That's the high quantity of the salt that is in that sea. So nothing lives in that sea. But this, and some people actually look at the scripture and they say, well, it's not just there's not just a spiritual interpretation of our lives today, but there's also a natural interpretation. So both are true. In fact, this is a natural prophecy of what's going to happen in Israel. A literal river will begin to flow from Jerusalem And, you know, they've got all the technical things right of how it's going to flow down the valley, and then it's going to go into the Dead Sea. And then, but it's just a picture that I want you to see. Then the waters are going to come into the Dead Sea, and life is going to return to the Dead Sea, you know, as living waters begin to enter. So life, healing, and then thirdly, abundance. So those are the sort of three themes of this scripture that happens around this liver. There's life, there's abundance, there's no shortage. If you look at the, when it talks about the food and the fruit and the fish, it's more than enough. It's always the pictures. And Jesus comes in Matthew chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I've come for life in abundance. More than enough, more than enough. And so often we settle for something less because we get convinced or we convince ourselves that it's not just Christ, it's something else as well. But we're settling, actually. We're settling for something less than life in abundance. God wants life in abundance, and he wants us to return to that. But then this is the key. I want you to see this. Because so many times we limit Christ, and that's the box. That's the box, because we limit God to this space. You know, and when we get into our workplaces, all other dynamics start to play a part. So we love the principles of the kingdom. We love the principles of the church. But when we're out there, suddenly we drop all the principles and we now pick up the principles of the world. Right? It's like we drop the Bible, we pick up another handbook. Right? And I believe God says prophetically we must drop the other handbook because he's God, not of the spiritual, but of the natural and the spiritual and everything. And this whole world, the Bible says that the glory of God covers the whole earth. And that's not just a spiritual thing, it's a real thing. In fact, the word says that God holds this universe together on a micro level and a macro level. He holds the stars together. Without God, there wouldn't be this world. So God is very much into this world. But I want you to see this. The scripture speaks of three things that we need to see from this. It says, not only where this river goes will there be life, abundance, and health, but actually it will affect the economy. The fish, the people that then come to this river will come to a multitude of fish. And of course, in that day, in the picture and the image that he uses speaks to the people of the day. But that was the economic well-being of the people. They were fishers. You know, that's how they, you know, the economy was upheld by fishing, and firstly, and secondly, by agriculture. So it says that wherever this river goes, trees would come up, and fruit, abundance of fruit. So agricultural, and of course, we know the important, if you study economy, if you study what, you know, the agricultural industry is absolutely crucial. But God says, you know, my river is not just a spiritual river, but it impacts the economy of a nation. And if you go and study church history, if you go and study church, wherever the church would go, wherever the teachings of Christ go, and people's hearts are being challenged and confronted with Christ, what happens? The natural surroundings are impacted. People are uplifted. Go and just study it. Go study to nations that become open to the gospel and see how they economically are being uplifted, how every area, every sphere of life is challenged and changed as Christ comes with this river and impacts everything. And then thirdly, it says medically things will change. People will start to become healthy. Because not only do these trees produce fruit, their leaves are made for healing. It's a symbol of health, and not just the laying hands on someone and they recover. Of course, that's part of it. But know that the people's their health will be uplifted. Right? There's a change on all three those levels. Now, three things about this river before we're going to break up. Two things, significance about the river. Firstly, it comes from under God's house, okay? And I want you to see this. Henderson says the following. The main point in the picture is the rapid augmentation from a petty stream into a mighty river, not by the influx of side streams, but by its own self-supply from the sacred miraculous source in the temple. One source. Do you see that? one source. Not side streams coming together, but one source. The river comes from the temple. All right? There's one source. Not little stuff. You know, it's once again, Jesus is enough. Amen. Jesus is absolutely enough. As I mentioned, some said it. It's a natural. There's a natural fulfillment to this. But then, thirdly, exponential increase in depth. Right, the angel comes and measures. But what starts as a little stream quickly becomes a massive river. So big that Ezekiel can't cross the river. Then, also very importantly, I want you to notice the fact that Ezekiel cannot control the river. Right? He just knows, suddenly things have changed. And don't you think it's weird that he had to stand inside the river to know how deep the river is? You know, he had to stand in it, then he said ankle deep, then he said knee deep, then he said waist deep, and then it was. But he couldn't control the flow of the river. And Jesus uses another picture when he talks about this river, and he says the Holy Spirit is like this. The Holy Spirit is like the wind blowing. You don't know where it comes from, but when it's there, you'll know it's there, right? And it's two different pictures of the same thing, right? We cannot control how God moves, except we always see is when the source is the temple, when the source is, and it like I said earlier, the source is the temple, it's the house of God, and the source at the same time, the imagery that is being used is Christ and the cross. Because, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, what happened? They stuck him in the side and water flowed, right? So once again, the pictures of Christ. He's the river, he's the source, and the river flows. And like I said, there's life. But we cannot control the flow. All we can do is we can jump in the river. We can get in the river. And God decides how quick the river is going to increase, how much the river is going to flow. And we're going to talk practically about that just now. Symbols of the river. The river signifies salvation. All right? Jesus says, if you thirst, come to me, accept me, and you will be filled. You will have enough so that you will never thirst again. Waters gushed from Jesus' side. I already mentioned that. There's a progressive depth, and it also symbolizes going deeper into God, saying, God, I'm not just satisfied with the ankle deep. I want to go deeper. I'm not satisfied with that. I want more of you. And it's not a case of running after things, running after God. It's just a case of saying, God, I've had enough of the world. I want more of you instead. It's not like God is lacking. You know, we sometimes as Christians get this funny idea of we need to ask God for more. We don't need to ask God for more. We need to want more. Amen. Big difference. The difference is the decision in your heart. Then, I don't know where we are. Somewhere on the symbols of river. Fourthly, I can count. Completeness of intimacy and fellowship with Christ. So, in a very real way, God doesn't understand FOMO. God doesn't understand us feeling like we left out because he's everything. So God thinks it's very weird that we want to go to places to find him. Because he is sufficient in us. When we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we get filled with him. Amen. You don't need to fear of missing anything out because he's inside of you. All you need to do is make a decision to connect with him. Right? Once again, that source and that sufficiency of Christ to fulfill the deepest need of your heart. And then again, the simplicity of life, the fact that it affects every area of your life. And if there's areas in your life that has not been influenced by Christ, it's because you have limited him. You've not allowed him to come into that area and to minister in and through you. So two things before we're going to break up. The first one is, there's two things that stops this river flowing in our lives. The first one is our perception. our perception of who God is. The second one is the holiness of this river. You know, a filthy river doesn't produce the fruit. It doesn't bring healing. It's the life-giving river. So those two things. Perspective, firstly. Jesus actually comes to, and he speaks often about this. In fact, one of the main things that Jesus speaks in his teachings is about this whole thing of stewardship. And he tells the parable of the stewards and the two good stewards. They took what Jesus gave them, or the master gave them. They multiplied it. But the one steward said, "Master, I perceived you as one that is hard. And, you know, who's a difficult person. You're a difficult master and you expect a lot. So I perceived you like that. And because of that, I took my talent and I buried it." And then Jesus, the master, comes back and he says to him, "But listen, because you've perceived me like this, in this way, I'm going to have to judge you as that. Because you perceived me as someone that is hard. And by the way he treats the other stewards, we see he's a gracious master. But this man perceived him as hard, and therefore he had a harsh judgment." So perception is so powerful. It's absolutely powerful. And our perceptions of Christ determines how this river flows in our life. If your Christ is a Christ of religion, dead religion. If your Christ is a Christ of a little Jesus in a manger, baby Jesus, guess what? This river cannot flow because your perception is limiting Christ of who he is. Right? And some people were sharing about the Philippines and people exposed to religion, and the perception of Christ is limited. All right? And when God comes, and that's when it's so powerful, when this river comes, and he just shakes that perception. It's all they've been used to, because religion has been taught to them, dead religion. But the perceptions of Christ have so decreased. And then God comes and he breaks by touching people, by just, you know, them experiencing healing or just being filled. I was so blessed by just praying for people as they just get filled with the Holy Spirit. That is just so amazing when people just encounter the Holy Spirit. And actually, in the next couple of weeks, we're gonna in our services, we're going to just talk about the Holy Spirit. You know, just being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to just talk about the basics and give up the people like the prophetic word came. We're going to allow the world to experience the benefits of the church. The awesome stuff that we know, but we sort of keep it wrapped up in a little box here. And we keep it wrapped up for Sundays. We're going to open the boxes. We're going to allow it just to come out. But God wants to shape our perceptions of who he is. And for that to happen, we need to worship. Amen. We need to see Jesus. Matthew's shouting amen. We need to worship. We need to see Jesus for who he really is. Right? And the only way you're going to get to that if you spend time with Jesus. Amen. You cannot know who Jesus is unless you spend time with him. Right? The more you spend time with him, the more he breaks the boxes, the breaks the perception, opens up who he is. It's like a normal relationship. The more you spend time with the person, the more you get to know them. The more we spend time with Jesus, the more he breaks down the false perceptions, the false ideas, the limitations that we place over him. He wants us to know him like he is meant to be known. So our perceptions, God wants to challenge those, and I'm almost done. Isaiah chapter 35, and I'm not gonna go into it, but it also talks about a river. In fact, it talks about waters coming into the desert, this dry land, this dry place. There's no hope, there's no life, but then this water comes, a river eventually, and there's life. Suddenly, there's life, and it speaks about a highway of holiness. It says, "Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not be afraid, for God is coming to destroy your enemies. He's coming to save you." And the enemies, the Bible says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So we've got very real enemies, right? But God wants to save us from our enemies. But the only way, and read Isaiah chapter 35, it speaks about a place, a contribution that we bring. The Holy Spirit comes and he helps us. We call it sanctification. It simply just means that God comes and he makes us pure vessels of this river, right? He takes away wrong ideas. He takes away sin, because sin stops this river. He takes away false mindsets. All of this, he cleanses us, mind, soul, and spirit. Our spirits even need cleansing. But it's a place that speaks of, the whole chapter speaks of a place where we yield ourselves to God to make us holy. And when we in this place, when we begin to surrender the addictions, when we begin to surrender the false desires, the lusts, the Bible speaks about three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Pride. Pride defiles us. We don't often speak about that, but pride defiles us. But God wants us to separate ourselves, and He's not going to do it. He's going to help you. The Holy Spirit is the helper, but it's a decision that you and I need to make. We're going to step away. We're going to step away from anything and everything that defiles us, because that is what's necessary for us to be vessels in God's hands, so that this river can flow through us. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to move around. We're going to just begin to share, and we're going to talk practically about what does this mean. But before that, let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you, Jesus, that you've given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. The word says you've already given it to us, God. We don't need to search for it. We don't need to look for it. We don't need to run around like crazy people and go and do crazy stuff. It's here. The word is near you, is in your heart. So thank you, Christ, that you are here in this place. And thank you that you love every person. And God, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Holy Spirit, we give you the right to convict our hearts. Not by religion, not by laws, and not by slavery to a law, but by the life of the Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we invite you. Won't you just, where you're sitting, won't you just speak to God, say, God, just bring me to that place. Fill me with that life. Give me that abundance. Let that river flow again. We're not going to have ministry in front here tonight. So this is between you and God. Just say, God, change my desires so that my desires are your desires. Come and build that highway of holiness in me, the desire to be pure, to be in vessel, so that the river can flow. Father, I bless every person here. I want to just, while every eye is closed, if you're here and you're far away from Jesus, then I want you just to be very honest this evening and say, God, I don't know those rivers. I don't know that waters that I will never thirst again. I don't know the voice of the shepherd. In fact, I don't know you. Father, I see these images of what the world portrays Jesus as. I see this image of Jesus, dead man on the cross. But Father, we thank you that that is not you. Jesus, you're alive. You're living. So if that's you tonight, I want you just to be very honest. I want to pray a quick prayer for you. This is a powerful prayer, powerful moment. Is anyone like that? Won't you just raise your hand? Just slip up your hand so that I can see. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your life, life in abundance. Thank you, God, for your goodness towards us. And we thank you, God, that you bring us back to the simplicity of Christ, the simplicity of the cross, and expose everything, God, that we have believed, every lie that we've bought into, that we need something more, something else to satisfy us. Something more to complete us, something more to get us to your calling on our life. And we repent now of those lies. Before we're going to split up, I want you just, while every eye is closed, I want you just to make a commitment to speak to Christ about the things that he spoke to you about now. If he's convicted you of something, I want you to go and sit down tonight. Not tomorrow, Don't extend it. Say, God, I bring these things before you. Come and work in my heart. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you for your words. We thank you that you break every box. In Jesus' name.